You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 1981 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is an evening lecture given by Brother Bill Van Hook on the subject, The Watchman.
This is a very exciting experience for me. My first Bible school lecture. May have a few gray hairs up here, but I'm young in the truth, and I think this has been a great opportunity to learn, especially for me. And in researching for this, I came up with some very interesting things, interesting to me. Marco is going to cover a number of them in his lecture, and I'm sure he has, and others will too. I'm going to stay with our theme we have up here from Isaiah 62. I'd like to read Isaiah 62, 6 and 7 from the King James. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So tonight, as I say in researching this, I got to the word watchman, and in looking that up, I came up with the root word Shamar. And from that, the two key words that we'll be working on tonight are watchman and keep. From the beginning, God has committed his plan to watchmen for safekeeping. There are hundreds of places in the Bible where people are told to keep various things. They're told to keep the commandments, they're told to keep the laws, to keep the judgment, to keep the charge, to keep the covenant, and the word most frequently used for this is this word, shamar. You might be interested in some of the other meanings that Young's Concordance has listed. Observe is another meaning for shamar. It's been used 45 times. Preserve, 19 times in the Bible. Take heed, 12 times. Mark 8, and watch for 7. Regard 5, watch 4 times, and there are a number of words that are only used once. Beware, reserve, spy, save, and look narrowly. In the New Testament, terio is the word that is used to convey the same thought. To convey the thought of keep. Okay, I'll digress a little bit here on my script. I realized that shamar was first found back in Genesis 2:15. And here we find that God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, which he had planted. Adam was to dress it, and he was to keep it. Shamar, or shamar. In other words, he was to be its watchman, observing and caring for it. The Garden of Eden was in perfect order at that time. We can see that at a glance in Isaiah 51:3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. And in Ezekiel 36:35, and they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Well, this lovely garden in which Adam was placed to dress and keep is an example of the coming kingdom. Adam was to till the ground, and he was also to keep or observe God's law. Of every tree thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt surely die. For in the day thou shalt surely die. It all seems simple enough to keep the law. But oh, how miserably Adam failed. He was to keep God's paradise. And this is quickly seen in the very next chapter of Genesis. Adam's failure resulted in his immediate expulsion from the garden. No longer able to participate of the tree of life. But Adam was driven out. He was no longer to keep the garden or to eat of the tree of life. The Lord God placed other keepers there, as we see in Genesis 3:24. The Lord God placed cherubims and a flaming sword in the garden, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And soon after, we're told about Adam's first son, Cain, who ruthlessly killed his younger brother Abel. Abel was a shepherd. Upon being questioned by the Lord about Abel's whereabouts, Cain lies, claiming that he is not his brother's keeper. And it's obvious that Abraham and Cain, neither one, fulfilled their duties as watchmen. So the family of Adam was embarked on a path of lawlessness and death. Nevertheless, God's plan to provide keepers for his way would not be thwarted. So Seth was born to Adam and Eve. And when it came to pass that men began to multiply on the earth, and wickedness and corruption grew to the extent that God finally decided to destroy man and all the rest of his earthly, fleshly creation, he said, "It repenteth me that I have made them," in Genesis 6:7. At this critical time in history, Noah, who was from the lineage of Seth many generations later, found grace in God's eyes. God was going to destroy all living things by means of a flood. And he commanded Noah to save himself and others in an ark which Noah would build to God's specifications. Noah was also to preserve as many as seven of all the different kinds of animals and birds, and to keep them alive. And this keep, in this instance, comes from another word, Hebrew word, Sheyah, which means to revive life or to recover life. Basically, we're going to be talking about Shamar tonight. Paul, when writing to Hebrews, speaks about Noah, saying, let's read Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah warned of God of things as things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. One can see in Noah's work a type of Jesus and his wonderful work that was to take place 2,400 years later. Now, about 3.5 centuries after the flood, God called Abraham to go forth from Ur of Chaldees to a land which he would show him. And Abraham obeyed the Lord. And we find the basis of our hope in the words of God to Abraham in Genesis 17, verses 8 through 10. This everlasting covenant reads, "I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." The Lord says, "This is my covenant which ye shall keep," Shamar, "between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall become circumcised." Genesis 26:4-5 reads, "I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all the countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." These words were spoken to Isaac because Abraham obeyed God's voice and he kept his charge. He kept his commandments. He kept his statutes and his laws. Abraham was the father of all the faithful that which would follow him. Now, I can remember, in speaking of watchmen, as a young man, I spent my first 6 years working for a copper mining company. And due to the vast operation that we were engaged in, they had watchmen installed. And how similarly you might apply their duties. The watchmen were posted around the project, and one of their purposes was to keep intruders out. It wasn't necessarily to keep them from being destructive, but it was to protect them, because they could quite innocently walk into an area where they might be blasting, there might be caving ground, or so forth. Also, the watchman was to watch the employees of the company to make sure that they weren't loitering or doing something they shouldn't be on the project. And then, of course, they were to keep the intruder out, the one that was that might come in and sabotage the operation. And I can remember the watchmen, they were required to make a round. And as they came to each station, they had a time clock in which they inserted a key which would record that they were there at that time, that they were awake and alert. They also had the purpose of warning the group of an impending disaster, such as a flood, a fire, maybe a mine cave-in. Now, the duties of Zion's watchmen are manifold too. They are to keep, meaning to observe the laws and teachings of God, promote a sense of loving duty, understanding, and humility and order among God's people, to prevent all enemy influences and intrusions from without the city. By making frequent contact with God, they are assured of keeping His way day and night. Now, to be appointed by God as a watchman over Jerusalem is indeed a high honor and a great responsibility. The people of God's choosing have been those who comprehended the bright future of His city and its eternal blessing or heritage. Those who believed that what He said, He would do. Now, why do we see Jerusalem overturned and trodden down through much of its history? Did her watchmen fail? Yes. In general, they did. Sadly to say, we see many who were the divinely appointed watchmen of Jerusalem's historic walls, descendants of Jacob, neglected all aspects of their calling. They corrupted, and they allowed others to corrupt God's laws, leading Jerusalem to a foretold destiny should her watchmen fail. In spite of this, God's word will accomplish that which He pleases. Let's take a look at Hebrews 11, verse 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go forth out of a place, many through the ages have died in faith like Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, should go out unto a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So, Abraham, not receiving the promises, but having seen them afar off, and confessing that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, sojourning in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles and looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now, speaking of Jerusalem, there's no city in the world like it. It is unique. Its history, its significance, and its future destiny make it a most remarkable city. Today it is a center of conflict between the Arabs and the Israelis. The superpowers, the United States and Russia, have supported their various allies, either the Arabs or the Israelis. And all of this is a fulfillment of its prophetic destiny, which must be close at hand. Jerusalem is first mentioned in rather dramatic circumstances. Abraham, that great man of faith, had defeated Chedorlaomer's northern confederacy in Genesis 5:14, that confederacy had been raising havoc in the land. And on Abraham's return, he was met by Melchizedek, the king of Salem, who was also priest of the Most High God. Salem is another name for Jerusalem. Therefore, at the beginning of its history, it is revealed as a center of divine worship, with a king priest at its head. And that is also to be its future destiny, isn't it? Only Jesus Christ will be that king priest. It's significant that its name was Salem, for that also is the name given to the temple city of the future. At that time, a greater confederacy than that of Chedorlaomer's will be overthrown at Armageddon by an army which will include Abraham and all the faithful watchmen through the ages. The psalmist declared, "In Judah is God known, his name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling in Zion." Psalm 76, 1 through 3. Salem is from the root signifying to be at one, is expressive of peace, and is based upon unity of thought and true fellowship. As far as Israel and the rest of the world are concerned, this will be conditional upon a defeat of the forces of darkness and evil, and those remaining people adopting the Prince of Salem, Jesus Christ, as their ruler in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, to this day, the city has witnessed more war than any other city. Her watchmen, wherever in the world they may be, still maintain their watch and cry day and night to God for her deliverance. The great drama of history will culminate in Jerusalem, when it will truly become a praise in all the earth, as expressed in Isaiah 62:7. Now let's look back at another of God's watchmen. Let's look at the words of Paul in Hebrews 11. It's a wonderful chapter. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We might also learn from the situation that Nehemiah faced when he returned from captivity in Persia. God's city, Jerusalem, lay in waste. Its walls were pulled down, and God's temple was destroyed. All around were those that mocked and pledged to frustrate the attempts to rebuild that ancient city. What could a mere cupbearer from Artaxerxes' court be expected to do, and a few unskilled Jews? Through the eye of faith, however, the watchman saw the true situation. He saw the armies of the living God marshaled to do his bidding. Nothing was impossible. And in Nehemiah 4:9, Nehemiah records his action. "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them." Certainly prayer and watchfulness are important tools for God's servants. And we have taken a look at many of the watchmen who have stood upon Jerusalem's wall, either literally or spiritually through the ages, some faithful and some not. The key to faithful service is the same now as it was then. Now here are some of the attributes to be acquired so that we may be found good and faithful watchmen. We must be on guard. Let's take a look at 1 Peter 5, verse 6 through 8. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may extol, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We realize that God's enemies are everywhere, seeking new converts to their wicked ways. But still, I think we'll all agree that the greatest enemy that we have is within ourselves. Our fleshly traits, like pride, self-righteousness, unkindness, laziness, to name a few. But we must pull ourselves together, for the time is short, as Jesus warns us in Matthew 24, verses 43 and 44. But know this, he seems to be speaking to us, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Through prayer and faith in God and God's Word, we can gain the inner strength to control our personal weaknesses. Paul in chapter 5 and 6 of his letter to the Ephesians gives a sound exhortation on how to contribute to the unity of our fellowship. Fellowship with our brethren and our families. It is those small things within our midst which can start fires. The very things that we, who are God's watchmen, must guard against. The commands of Ephesians 5 and 6 will help us to keep peace in our brotherhood, allowing God's word to properly go forth from the city. Some of Paul's comments, like husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Servants, be obedient to your masters. Masters, do not threaten. And finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Then taking his words from Isaiah 59:17, Paul pictures God's servant fully clothed for battle, loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod in readiness with the gospel of peace, holding a shield of faith, helmet and sword of salvation by the word of God. And then he exhorts in Ephesians 6:18, pray always with all prayer and supplication, watching with all perseverance. We who are Christ's followers should take heed to the words of Ezekiel 33:7. So thou, O Son of Man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them for me. So to all then who believe the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, how intensely interesting must be the future of this city. Well, maybe it's said by the prophet, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Thank you.